Welcome to the Dream Home Movement. This is your weekly dose of dream home inspiration, bringing you clever hacks and tips from the very best local experts with your hosts, Tara and Joe.
Welcome to the Dream Home Movement, everyone. We are here tonight and we are talking a pretty exciting topic. What are we talking about, Joe?
We are talking about bed and breakfast. So if ever you have dreamed of owning your own bed and breakfast, this is the show for you. I know a lot of people that I speak to, they either dream of owning their own hobby farm, and we've done a show about that.
Or absolutely.
Or they dream of one day owning a bed and breakfast. So our guest this week made a massive sea change or tree change, I suppose you might call this one. After years of working overseas as a VIP nanny, Angela Jacobson moved back to Australia with her high school sweetheart, Dave. Well, they knew each other from high school.
Oh.
Yeah, Frankston High.
That's gorgeous.
Yeah, and they purchased a rundown bed and breakfast that hadn't operated for 2 years, and now it's up and running and it's gorgeous. One of my friends has actually stayed there. She said it's absolutely beautiful. So we are going to speak with Angela about the realities of setting up a bed and breakfast. How do you do it? What are the technicalities involved? How did they renovate it? What was involved there? And they also did it with a pregnancy and then a new baby in the mix as well.
Wow.
So what was that like? We'll get Carl on the line later on tonight for the finance segment, and he'll actually talk us through how to get finance for a bed and breakfast as well. We also have the property geek out, as always, with Tara. But, hey, before we go any further, let's introduce ourselves.
I know.
In case this is the first time that you've ever tuned into the show, hello, welcome. If you're a regular listener, welcome back and thank you so much for your support. I am Joe Violetta. I'm the Community Engagement Manager from Violetta Finance. The bloke that I just mentioned, Carl, is my husband and he's also from Violetta Finance. He presents the finance segment. And I'm here with my fabulous co-host, Tara Vandelight. Tara, who are you? Where are you from? What are you doing?
It's Tara Vandelight here from Janice Dunn's Estate Agents, and I'm a local real estate agent. And I'm also the founder of a community group called Building Dreams, Mornington Peninsula.
That's us. That's who we are. Stay tuned. Coming up next, our chat with Angela. Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, only here on RPPFM. Take me home tonight. I just
want to show you the true light. Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, everyone. We are talking Airbnbs today.
Well, we're talking bed and breakfast, but the bed and breakfast that we're chatting about is, you're right, available on Airbnb. The bed and breakfast that we're talking about tonight is the Alpine Guest House, and it's owned by Angela Jacobson and her partner, Dave. Now, we've got Angela on the line all the way from Mount Beauty. How are you, Angela?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Now, Angela had a high-flying career as a VIP nanny, overseas VIP nanny, but you came back to Australia and had a bit of a tree change and took a big, what I would say would be a big risk, by buying a run-down bed and breakfast in Mount Beauty and getting it back up and running. You aim to have it ready by winter. Was it winter last year?
Yeah.
And then something else happened in winter last year.
Yes. I gave birth to my son in the middle of winter.
Oh. Congratulations.
Thank you. He's now 5 months. And we got through the winter. So, yeah, we actually bought the bed and breakfast back in October the year before, and I found out at New Year's that I was pregnant. So obviously wanted to have a baby for a long time and was over the moon, but probably wouldn't have bought a bed and breakfast the same year.
Oh, my gosh. That seems to be such a common theme. Like when I chat with other mums who've done like big renovations or started businesses, it always seems to coincide with a pregnancy. I've not... I've noticed. So that would have been, I mean, it would have been a huge undertaking as it was, but pregnancy and having a new baby in the mix certainly would have added to that intensity, but certainly very exciting. And from all accounts, the bed and breakfast is absolutely gorgeous. One of my girlfriends recently stayed there. I've got to book myself in to come. And you've been pretty much booked out.
We have. We sort of hit the ground running. We moved in the February. And as you said, it hadn't been running for 2 years. They still had the hideous curtains from the previous owner, and a lot of pink walls, pink kitchen, a lot of work to do, overgrown gardens. You know, looked like spiders had been living happily in the house for 2 years. There was a lot of work to do to get it back to scratch. But I just sort of took photos as it was and put it up and thought, well, I'll give it a crack and see what happens, and we'll do it up bit by bit. And we just got bookings straight away.
Really? So, even in the previous state?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was still livable, and we bought new bedding, and we had beautiful towels, and I thought that at least if the bed's comfortable and the towels are nice and it's clean, people will see past that. And a lot of it's wood, and I think coming from the city, we were used to all this new houses and stuff like that. So there's a lot of wood and carpet and, you know, things that we probably wouldn't have chosen to have here.
Yeah.
But I guess when you come out to the Alpine and to that ski lodge feel, that's sort of normal out here.
Yeah,
so
that's the
we have
look.
Left a lot of the exposed beams, and we've actually left the wool carpet because it does get very cold here.
Oh.
Gorgeous. So can you tell, so you're in the Alpine region, you're in Mount Beauty. For those listeners, because we've got an international audience and an audience all around Australia. So for people that are not familiar with Mount Beauty, can you tell us a little bit about that region or that area? And just a bit about the Alpine guest house. How many rooms do you have? All that sort of stuff.
Mount Beauty is about a four-hour drive from Melbourne, probably 5 hours from the peninsula. And we are at the bottom of Falls Creek Ski Resort.
Wow.
So it's only probably 15 minutes further to go to Hotham and not too far from Bright. It's a beautiful part of the world, and it's like a little hidden gem that we found out here with all the extracurricular things that we love to do. And the actual guest house is a house that's been set up into three separate areas. So the main house has three rooms off it. They're spa rooms. They've each got their own ensuite, queen room, and then there's one big communal hall where we've put a pool table, and there's a big kitchen, big table to sit and eat, and then we've got a big deck as well that you can go out and barbecue on or sit out there in an evening and see the mountains. And then there's two other sections, which we call one the flat, which is a two-storey section which has its own bathroom and kitchen, and we currently have been renting that permanently to a tenant, but he's moving out sadly in 2 weeks, so we're going to actually open up, there's a door that divides the two, and we're just going to open it up and rent it as one huge place that can sleep 16 people.
Oh, wow.
Sadly for him and you, but exciting for all of us that would like to come and stay with a big group.
And we're finding that that's what people want. We've had a lot of bookings of 10 people because that's the maximum we can get in the main house at the moment. So we found all through the winter we had a lot of groups that wanted that. So being able to provide something where 16 people can sleep is quite rare out here. And being at the bottom of the mountain, it's substantially cheaper than staying up the mountain. So a lot of people tend to come down, stay down here, and then just travel up and back each day.
That's smart, isn't it?
It's a smart idea, especially as a group. It'd be a lot of fun.
It would. Oh, it'd be heaps of fun. Ooh. It would be heaps. I'm mentally running through my friends list at the moment.
And then the third section we've got is a studio, which again has a spa and an open fire, and there's a big fire in the main house. But we have been living down here. So we are in the process of converting a carport into another bedroom now for the baby. And we live downstairs, which we found we sort of need to be on site to run it properly. We did move off site temporarily in the winter, and we found we had a few issues when we weren't here to run it. Yeah, and just if there's noise problems in the evening or anything like that, we had to come back and sort it out rather than if we're here, we can sort of stamp that out immediately.
Yeah.
So, we quite enjoy staying here, and then We can obviously meet and greet the guests, which I think that's a big selling point that we are here, and we, if there's anything they need, we're around to help them, whereas most properties, especially on Airbnb, just sort of there's a key lock at the door and then there's nobody there for your stay.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
There's that that hospitality there.
Yeah, and I think that from all the years working with VIPs, I've learned what they do and don't want and, you know, all those little added touches. So I've sort of been incorporating that into the B&B.
Well, speaking of that, I mean, this is quite a big change from what you were doing previously. So you were working overseas as a VIP nanny. What inspired you to shift from that career into buying and owning a bed and breakfast?
Well, Dave and I purchased in Skye and we were living there for a year. I had my pet pig there. I've got Roxy the pig. And I had four chickens and I started to grow my own vegetables and things like this in my tiny back garden in Skye. And I sort of said, I want to move to the country and I want to settle down, have a baby. I didn't sort of envision it all happening in the same year. But hey, you know, it did and we rolled with it. So we set off. We bought a camper van and we set off, you know, to travel around and find where we wanted to live. And this ended up being the first place that we looked at.
Amazing.
And we did look at a few more, but we just fell in love with it. And we saw the potential to run it as a business. But my partner's a builder, so we knew he could do any of that stuff. And we also knew that there was a lot of tourism out this way. So we thought we'd give it a go and see how we'd get on.
Amazing. It sounds like it was meant to be, and very handy that Dave is a builder.
Yes, very handy.
it was all definitely meant to be. So you mentioned that the premises was in a bit of disarray, the colours were a bit whatever, and it definitely needed a bit of a clean up. It sounds like your dream, Tara. Angela, you haven't met Tara before, but Tara is very talented.
And a serial renovator, Angela.
She buys run-down properties that other people would walk in and just go, oh, no. Like you said, the more bugs in it, the better. And then she flips them and turns them into these glamorous homes. So can you let us know what was involved in getting the bed and breakfast up and running? And especially because we've probably got quite a few of our listeners who this would be a dream
quite
for them.
Relevant.
Like what's actually involved in getting a bed and breakfast up and running.
We have quite a lot of big houses down this end of the world. Can they all be bed and breakfasts?
That's true.
Planning issues or
Well, I think that there's a bit of a loophole with the Airbnb at the moment, so there's a lot less restrictions through councils to run Airbnb.
So
I know that they're trying to change that, and I understand that obviously there's different rates for a house compared to a B&B, but with Airbnb, you seem to escape a lot of that. But I did have to get a commercial – I have a commercial kitchen here, so I did have to get my food handler's license. And, you know, I sort of set out thinking, yes, I'm going to cook breakfast if they want it. I'm going to cook dinner. I'm going to do all this stuff. And in the beginning I was baking bread for the guests and I've got fresh eggs and the chickens. And obviously as the pregnancy wore on, I was like, okay, I'll buy them a loaf of bread.
Freshly baked from the bakery, people. It's fine.
But I did have throughout the winter, I did have lots of guests that wanted the full English breakfast or, you know, I did have one night I had 10 Indian guests that wanted me to cook them a curry. So I did that and they were quite happy apparently. So, and I had a lot of young snowboarder crowd that they wanted me to drive them up the mountain and pick them up, and which I offer for additional money. And then when I get back here, they're like, can you make me some pasta? And I just cook up a huge batch of pasta and garlic bread for them. And, you know, they just thought it was fantastic. So I sort of took on that mummy/nanny role with a lot of the young ones. So, and I did really enjoy it.
I love that.
So I felt like they were my kids each day. I'm like, okay, meet me at the car at 6 or 7.
Don't hurt yourself.
I'm like, see you at 4. Yeah, I'll be here at 4. I'm going to be here waiting.
Message me if you're running late.
Yeah, basically. And then they're like, can you cook us food? And I was like, I'm like their mum.
Gorgeous.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And we had some people come to stay. You know, one guy came for a week and he ended up staying 6 weeks, and you know, we've already got people booked for this winter, and, you know, someone's, you know, people are talking about wanting to come for the whole season, and, you know, so we have had some repeat business already,
wow.
Which is fantastic. And we seem to, we pick up all sorts from the tourism to, recently we had some guys from Melbourne that were working out in the valley for, they booked for a week and they ended up extending their stay as well. So we have all kinds of different people come. And the other thing we do is we rent the rooms individually.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have three different groups in the main house on the one night, or you can rent the whole house and have it privately. So it's always different. It's always a different crowd. You never really know what you're getting. Or we find a lot. Last weekend we had two families come, and we often get one from Melbourne, one from Sydney,
mm-hmm.
And they meet up here and then they spend the weekend together. So we're getting all sorts of people, a lot of international people. They're from everywhere.
That's a really smart idea. So tell us, for someone who's a budding B&B host, what are some realities that people need to understand before they undertake something like this?
Well, as I said, you never know what you're going to get. So you are dealing with the general public, which anybody, you know what it's like on the peninsula throughout the summer. Everybody comes and sort of takes over,
yeah.
And it's those similar people come out here in the winter.
Mm.
So, there's a lot of different people. So the people that live in the valley are quite different to the people that come to the valley. I guess dealing with everybody's individual needs, what you think one person will like, another one doesn't.
Yeah,
so,
right.
You can never really completely please everybody, but you have to sort of just try and be a yes man, and whatever it is they want or need, you try and be there for them. But I had one of my only complaints was that the leaves hadn't turned red yet when they arrived, and they booked for
Angela,
the red
come
leaves.
Come on.
Surely you can manage that.
obviously things that are beyond my control, but, anything that I can do to please them, we always try to.
Be like the Queen of Hearts painting the roses red,
We actually were like one of the only people. We had this one vine in our fence line that had gone red, and I was like, did you notice the one in our garden? But due to global warming and the different seasons at the moment, obviously the leaves took a bit longer to turn this year.
Mm.
So anybody that booked in advance to come specifically for the leaves, some were obviously a bit disappointed, but they all did enjoy their stay here, so that was that was good. But yeah, I guess when we've had a couple of times where guests have sort of, I would say, trashed the place.
I was wondering about that with the cleaning and the maintenance and
it's a bit disheartening, because I feel like you put all your effort in, and I was pregnant and I was trying to obviously do everything to please people, and then to see that they break one of my good, I let them use all my things, and we go above and beyond what a normal B&B or Airbnb would provide, and for them to break one of my expensive casserole dishes, or burn out my pans, or just that sort of disrespect of not looking after someone else's property. And then there's just little things that obviously people do. They break things unintentionally.
Mm.
But it just, there's often can be a bit disheartening when you see your nice things getting ruined.
Yeah.
So, but that's what insurance is for. And luckily Airbnb are very good with that. So it's just a matter of keeping on top of it. Another reason why you need to really be here and just check, because I've had people steal pillows. I've had all kinds of little random things that, that weird people do. We provide free tea and coffee, and I have this big wooden tea box that holds 12 different flavours of tea, and one person decided to empty it and take it with them because they obviously viewed me as a hotel. And
Wow. How did you have that conversation?
Well, they're gone by the time you realise, and I don't want to, I'm not going to be that petty that, you took all my tea, but, you suddenly realise that you don't put 12, flavours out, or 12 bags of each flavour, you just put three, or, we used to put four rolls of toilet paper in each toilet, and then we realised people were just taking all the toilet paper, and, it's silly that you have to ration your toilet paper.
Oh, my gosh.
How do they all use that much toilet paper in one night study?
When I was...
Aluminium foil and stuff like that. People, people have emptied out those drawers, and it's like, really? Like, this is my home. Like, but Anyway, you just go and replace it. And
it's like that Simpsons episode where Homer talks about the complimentary towels and stuff.
Yeah. It's odd. I suppose you would get a really interesting insight into human behavior.
Yeah.
But
that's only some guests. That's not all guests, though.
Look, I'd say 90% of our guests, and we've had, we've got over 100 five-star reviews now, and we've had, I'm not sure exactly the amount in total, but we've had numerous more than that guests, and we have only had a handful that we've had any issues with.
Okay.
And generally there's been, something else is their problem rather than us.
Yes.
Or, you just got to roll with that, and, you can't please everybody, so just got to try and please the majority.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like your tip would be aware of human nature. It's very much as it comes.
And don't take it personally.
Yeah. Ration the toilet paper.
Put a sign up saying 2 squares of toilet paper per person per visit.
If you're staying one night, you don't need 4 rolls. Yeah. We don't.
We hadn't done this before, so we had no idea. I didn't know even what price the room's at, and obviously in the beginning I must have been too cheap, and so we were just sort of learning. We didn't realize you whack it up on the long weekends and all this stuff that we were just learning as we were going.
Right.
So we've made a few little mistakes like that where this year round we're already on top of it, but it's all just been a learning curve, and it's been fun, and as I had the baby in the midst of it all, so it certainly was a challenge.
Yeah.
But I like a good challenge, so yeah.
Very good. So do you have any advice or tips for anyone thinking of owning their own bed and breakfast that maybe you might have wished you'd known beforehand?
I think, you need to do your research depending on the area.
Mm.
We're very lucky here that there is a huge demand for tourism and rental accommodation, and there aren't that many places. So we've sort of struck gold choosing this town. So I guess you need to look at how many options there already are surrounding you as to where you do that.
Competition. Mm.
Yeah.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
The economics of it. Mm.
Yes. Because it's got to be profitable.
And the thing is, you can drop the price right down, but then is it worth the changing of the sheets, the washing, and the wear and tear on all your products as well? So you have to weigh that up. So we could have the place filled every single night cheaply, or now I've put a 2-night minimum as well, because last year I didn't have that, and we were often having 8 people, then 10 people, then 9 people, day after day.
It's a lot
of washing.
Yeah, it is. And look, competing on price is a quick race to the bottom, really. So do your research on the area.
Mm.
Don't take things personally.
Right. And I think with the pricing, you've got to find a price you're happy with as well.
Yeah.
Because if I listen to Airbnb, we'd be doing it a lot cheaper.
Right.
But I feel like if I've got 100 five-star people telling me how fantastic it was, I can justify my pricing.
Mm.
And I know I'm not anywhere near the top of the range around here. So I think you just be confident in your ability and what you're providing, because as I said, most people just absolutely love coming to stay here. It is that sort of semi little farm stay, because we have got the pig and the chickens, and we're now growing all our veggies, and so we provide fresh herbs for them, so a lot of people come down and I'll give them a basket, and the kids collect the eggs and they can take them up, or they pat the pig or feed the pig their food scraps. We provide a little bucket so they can do that. So it's quite interactive for them as well.
Oh, that sounds absolutely gorgeous. Actually, I'm just curious about the property. If you were to buy another bed and breakfast, what kind of features do you look for? What makes it a good buy?
Well, I think you need to have lots of bathrooms.
Mm.
So this has been built specifically for this purpose. So every section has their own individual bathroom, because I find that that's one thing that everybody wants. No one really wants to share. And I guess if you've got 8 people getting up to go skiing or coming home from skiing, the fact that they can all go in their each room and have a spa or have a hot shower, rather than all queuing for that one shower where your hot water's going to run out. Making sure you've got a huge hot water system, and we've got evaporative cooling, so they're cold. We've got great heating and the fires We provide, that's the other thing we learned the hard way. We used to provide a lot of wood in the house, yeah. and we found people were just burning a week's worth of wood in one weekend. So now we sort of, we set the fire for them, and I like to light the fire before they arrive. You know, another little touch that they walk in and the open, you know, the open fire's
yeah.
going.
Yeah, that sounds
lovely. And it does, doesn't it?
We provide enough wood for the evening, and then we have a little note that if they would like, that was complimentary, and if they'd like more wood for the next night, it's $10 a pack, and then we'll give them a load of wood. And then we find that people either then ration that wood for the two nights, or they happily pay the 10, knowing how much all that stuff costs, and then we give them loads. But we used to just let them help themselves, and yep. we learned the hard way.
They got a bit overexcited.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all do it. I know when I've stayed at places, we just keep adding log after log after log. Or, you know, you leave the air conditioning on all day while you're out, or, you know, it's my pocket sort of thing. Whereas we've learned a few of those little things. We're just asking the guests, if you don't mind, turn your bedroom heater off for the day and, you know, pop it back on in the evening, no problem. But please don't run it for 7 days straight.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it is. I think you don't want to be one of those, you know, companies that has signs everywhere saying don't. But at the same time, you can, surely there's no harm in suggesting a few nice things.
Yeah, friendly little suggestions.
Yeah, because times eight, 10 groups. Geez, yeah. You know.
When we got our first electricity bill for the winter, we were like, we made a few adjustments. Wow. But yeah, when we moved in, there was signs everywhere saying, don't touch this, turn this to this. Like, there were signs literally everywhere. We were like, what's wrong with this? And, you know, we're not going to do that, but just a friendly little nudge and sort of say, look, it's not for the environment. Can you think about my pocket?
Yeah.
So we'd love to ask you our signature question that we ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It is, what does the term dream home mean to you?
Okay, I wouldn't say this is my dream home.
Oh, really?
No, look, for me, a dream home would, I would like a lot of acreage and not having other people living on my property, so to speak. I mean, this is fantastic as a business, and not sure exactly how long we'll do it for, and we'll, you know, continue on as is. But my dream home would be more a nice two-story house on several, you know, potentially 100 acres with all the animals, and you know, my son's got plenty of space to run around. But that would be my dream home.
Oh, that sounds beautiful. You know, Angela, I'm going to send you a link to one of our past episodes. We spoke to Beth Steidel, who owns a hobby farm. I reckon you'd really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, that's, I think the next step for us, that'll be where we're at. And, you know, we love this area, so we know this is, you know, where we want to be. And look, we may find a way to keep running the B&B and not live here. I think if we find the right person that we can trust, then there's a way of doing both.
Mm. Oh, that sounds ideal.
Mm. Yeah.
And you can move back down this way. Sounds like you found a nice spot up there, so.
We've still got our boat in Mortialik.
And a lot
of our family are still on the peninsula. So we do come back.
That's good.
And we will always come back. But we're quite happy out in the country now.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, well, thank you very much for joining us, Angela. If anyone wants to find your bed and breakfast or find your property, where can they find you?
As we are on Airbnb, and that could be quite difficult. So what I could do is post the links on your Facebook page for you.
Great. Yes, please.
And also we are Alpine Guest House on Facebook, so you can find us that way and send me a message, and then I can either redirect you or we can sort something out.
Perfect. Alpine Guest House. And we'll, for the podcast version of the episode, we'll have all those details in our show notes as well.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Angela. It was so lovely speaking with you tonight. And I think Tara and I are looking forward to coming.
I know. I think we might have a girls' weekend.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's loads of wineries out here. It really has got something for everyone.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right. Well, thank you very much, Angela.
You're welcome.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, only here on RPPFM.
Take me home tonight. I just want to show you the true light. Light me up and make me feel all right. 'Cause baby, we are.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement. And at the moment, we have Carl Violetta from Violetta Finance on the phone. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Tara. How are you?
Really, really, really good. So,
three reallys.
Yeah.
Why do one with three?
Well, we are really good because we just spoke with Angela Jacobson about the bed and breakfast that she's opened in Mount Beauty that our friend Tasha actually stayed at recently.
And Yeah.
We are going to stay there this winter. It sounds and looks amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And there's facilities to take a group, so we may join you. Yeah. I've just invited myself online.
Bring the kids, bring Simon. It'll be amazing.
The more the merrier. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially for the kids.
Exactly.
Mm. Absolutely. So let's say we've heard this segment and we thought to ourselves, look, we actually want to go out and start a bed and breakfast ourselves. How would I go about getting finance for that, Carl?
So bed and breakfast types of businesses are very much a case-by-case basis when it comes to lending.
Okay.
So let's get to know a little bit more about the bread and breakfast setup that our friend has. So is there a home that she lives in the property?
Yes.
Okay. Yep,
she lives in the property.
Great. And then how many little bread and breakfasts, what do we call them?
Suites?
Suites.
I think she said it can take up to 16 now.
Yeah.
She's got 16 individual?
There's one sort of suite that can be opened up and can bed 16 people, or there's several different I'm sorry, she did tell us and we've forgotten now, but there's several rooms.
Let's say 16 groups for argument's sake with their own individual bathrooms.
Yeah, right. So that sounds really it's a big operation by the sounds of it. And I may be wrong, but I'm going to put my sort of logical bank assessor hat on for a moment and kind of talk this out a little bit. So based on the information that you've given in,
which may or may not be correct.
But based on the information presented, I believe that this could be a commercial deal and therefore it will fall under a commercial lending policy. Now, let's say that the setup of this bread and breakfast was a little bit smaller. There was a house in there and there was probably one or two suites. And the customers that were looking to buy this bread and breakfast setup did not rely on the income from the bread and breakfast business, then they may be able to use residential lending purely because they are not reliant on the bread and breakfast business income.
Okay.
So if you had a retired couple, for example, or a retired person, for example, and they have their super that they're living off, but their retirement dream was to run a bed and breakfast, would be one example. Or if you're running a bed and breakfast, but someone else has another job.
If their accountant or if their financial planner said that was a good idea for them to do that, then no problems. Okay. Now, On a different scenario where, based on the smaller setup, if they were reliant on the income from the bread and breakfast, you can still do it under residential lending.
Yeah.
But the loan must not have lender's mortgage insurance applied on the loan.
Okay, so that means their deposit would need to be 20% or more.
Greater,
Correct. Yes, right. That's right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if the business didn't have a house in it, it just had full of suites.
Yep.
Then it would not the residential lending would not apply.
Okay.
Okay, so you'd be forced to go commercial regardless.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, you would. So sort of this types of property doesn't really fit, you know, one product box.
Sure.
So it really does depend on the profile of the property, number one. Mm. Then number two, if you're buying an existing bread and breakfast business and you're relying on the income from that business, that also changes the dynamics of the lending because the property becomes an income-producing property, yeah?
Mm, okay.
So when it becomes income-producing, then, you know, that would be subject to commercial lending
And commercial lending is a little bit trickier to get than residential lending, isn't it, really? Yeah?
Oh, you've really just got to tick all the boxes for the banks to do that. So the loan-to-value ratio must not exceed, you know, between 50 to 70% of the property value. You know, it depends on the lender that you want to go with.
Yep.
You know, you need to provide 2 years of financials, 2 years of taxable income for the business for the bank to consider the bread and breakfast income for servicing. You know, that kind of information comes into play. But if you're kind of looking at this as a bit of a lifestyle change, but the bread and breakfast is a bit of an extra, you know, you're not really going to treat this as a bit of a, as a business. You're kind of just doing it for a bit of a hobby, let's say.
Yep.
Then you know you would sort of be looking at residential lending.
Yeah, that's a preferable option.
Okay,
so it sounds like, as you said, it's very much on a case-by-case basis. There's a lot of variables. There's no sort of black and white and one-size-fits-all answer.
Yeah,
there
isn't.
There truly isn't. Mm. Yeah, they're all different.
Well, that's some really interesting food for thought. Thank you, Carl.
Well, hopefully that has sort of helped you guys sort of crystallise whether you guys want to think about buying your own bread and breakfast
type with me.
Thanks.
So, Carl, if anyone's listened to this and they're thinking, look, that they might like to lend some money to do a bed and breakfast, or just in general lend some money to, you know, do up their home, a renovation, refinance, buy a new home, how can they get hold of you?
Oh, Tara, the best way is to really just to give me a call.
Yeah.
0424-849-034. Anyone calls that number, I pretty much answer the call. And let's have a chat about your scenario. If you want to send us a message, you can find us on Facebook and on Insta as Violetta Finance and Violetta with 1C.
Yep.
Or they can send us a message on our website, which is violettafinance.com.au.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much for that, Carl.
No worries. You guys have a super night.
We will.
Thanks, you too.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement, only here on RPPFM.
Take me home tonight. I just want to show you the truth.
Welcome back to the Dream Home Movement.
Welcome back. We are heading into the property geek out with Tara, thanks for joining us tonight, Tara, to present this segment.
Get my geek on, hey?
What do you got for us tonight?
Well, let's talk about renovations, because that just seems to be in everyone's blood here on the peninsula right now. Everyone's just buzzing. They're wanting to get their houses in order. They want to get, you know, new life, new house, new year on the way, and renovating and building projects are part of that.
We've actually noticed that as well in the last few months.
With financing too?
People wanting finance for like equity release for renovations. It's really big.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, over the Christmas period, you do spend a lot of time at home and you do entertain at home.
And you notice things at home.
And if it's been a couple of hot days and you've been at home and, you know, you've had some time off work and you're there in the house, it's not uncommon for us to see in property a bit of an influx of buyers.
Yeah.
Come, mid-Jan, because people are like, new year, new home.
Yeah. Get me out of this place.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. I can't ignore it any longer.
Yeah.
It's time to do a bit of a life makeover. So I thought I'd make mention of the Building Dreams Mornington Peninsula group because that's a community that I created on Facebook about 2 years ago now. And we've got 2,400 locals.
Gee.
Yeah. On there chatting about their own projects, their renovation projects, their building projects, their landscaping projects. Mm. And it's just a really nice, friendly space on the internet where people come and they collaborate and they connect and they share ideas and they swap resources, they swap their favourite trades. And you're part of a community there. Like, you really can ask anything.
Yeah.
It's that feeling, isn't it? You don't have to be an expert.
No.
You know, look, honestly, we get builders on there and they ask questions as well because, you know, we're all learning, we're all improving. There's so many different ways your building, renovation, landscaping project can go. So, yeah, there's always a fresh question no matter how much experience you have in those fields. So,
yeah, and it could be something as in, can you recommend this trade or where do I find this pendant light, you know, right down to this tile or that tile.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that. Which white? Which shade of white?
Yeah.
You know, should I do this configuration or that configuration? A lot of floor plan questions. I think it's
a really good place
for that. Really good place for that. So people put up their floor plans and get suggestions before they go and build it. Isn't that a smart idea?
Yeah.
So you can see what the, you know, what other people's insights can add to your design, which is really clever. Yeah, absolutely. And there's been a lot of questions, some interesting ones that have come up recently. People sometimes getting into a pickly situation with builders.
Oh, okay.
Tell me more. Oh, look, I mean, it's not uncommon. Hopefully, you know, it doesn't happen to you. But, there have been people who've been in situations where they don't quite know how to negotiate the situation. They're being told one thing by their supplier or their builder and they're not satisfied with the outcome and they just want to get some knowledge from other people and say, look, is this reasonable?
Is this normal? Workshopping approaches, you know, of how to discuss it
Really smart. So that's a really useful thing for the group. There's just a big variety of people, like people just tidying up their houses. And you know what's also interesting in the group right now is people are showing their projects. They're just getting on there to show their projects that they're doing.
That's pretty cool.
It is the before, during and afters.
Yeah.
And there's people building their brand new dream homes on the peninsula, which are really fascinating. Like, we've got some of the best architecture in all of Australia, I'd say.
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely. Anyway, so it's all being workshopped in this Facebook group. Anyone local is more than welcome to join. Also, if you're looking to move down to the peninsula, you're welcome to join as well because it can give you a bit of insight of helping you on your search for finding the perfect dream home yourself. Absolutely.
So people can just go on Facebook and look up Building Dreams Group.
Yep, Building Dreams Group, Building Dreams Mornington Peninsula.
Yeah.
If you do a search on that, we'll come up there.
And they can visit your website and Instagram as well. So where's that?
Absolutely. So that's just Building Dreams Group and that's sort of my little Building Dreams journey as well. And also sharing some stuff that we've learnt from the group as well. So, yeah, all sorts of really interesting things happening.
And where else can we find you?
Oh, you can find me on Janice Dunn's Estate Agents website. I'm there. And on the weekends during the week as well, I'm out selling houses. So you may see me at a home open.
Yeah, very cool. Congratulations on that because I know that's a little bit new.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very exciting.
Yeah. Very, very exciting stuff. Well, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We love chatting with you every week. And big thank you to our special guest, Angela, definitely booking in to that bed and breakfast, the nice little winter escape. And I hope that helped provide some clarity around what is actually involved in buying, owning and operating a bed and breakfast. There certainly were a lot of little bits and pieces in there that I would never have thought of around, you know, the number of toilet paper roles to provide and that sort of thing. Hey, we want to give a special shout out to all of the podcast listeners as well. So shout out to everyone who listens to the show live every Thursday on RPPFM at 7 p.m. But also a shout out to everyone who listens on the podcast. So each of our shows we edit and we upload onto the internet for you to listen as a podcast. It's available on iTunes, Wooshka. It's available on both of our websites, so buildingdreamsgroup.com and violettafinance.com.au, and anywhere where you listen to good podcasts. If ever you miss an episode, you can always go back and listen to it. And if you enjoy it, please leave us a rating and review and subscribe so you never miss a podcast episode. And we would like to give a shout out to all of our listeners, podcast listeners in Mount Eliza. So every week we have a look and see which suburb had the most number of listeners in it. And this week it is Mount Eliza, followed by Mornington.
Of course.
And then Mount Martha.
Yep.
But also we did see, sneaking into that top five, Launceston. That's Tasmania, isn't it?
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah. So thank you to everyone in Launceston who is listening as well. We hope you come and visit us here on the peninsula. That's all for this week. Thanks again, and we will chat to you again next week. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on the Dream Home Movement. Wishing you all the best in your projects this week. We would love to chat and hear what you're up to, so please say hi on Facebook and Instagram. We look forward to hanging out with you next week. Catch you soon.